So we'll try to keep it brief and focused. This week's parasha is a really big parasha. You have a lot of Klal Yisrael's worst moments, and you have part of the bakasha of Moshe Rabbeinu centers around Ki Am Kshei Oref. Klal Yisrael is a stiff-necked people, and that's always been what the Goyim have accused us of. I would say accused us of, rightfully so, the Torah says so. So the pashta pshat is it's sort of clemency, like you're saying, well, these people are difficult people. You've got to, you know, it's really really hard to work with them. You've got to be mochel them because they're really not easy people. Okay, so there's a problem with that, because it's one thing to excuse people because they're not really because they have a difficult temperament. But you're talking about the Amon Nifcher. We want to keep Klal Yisrael as the chosen people. And to say Am Kshei Oref, it's an excuse. It's like I say, okay, this person has a serious anger management problem. Be patient with him. But that's not a good reason to marry a person like that. It's a good excuse to excuse the behavior. We're talking about Klal Yisrael becoming the Am Hashem, being Am Hashem. And Am Kshei Oref is maybe it's forgiving them for the sin, but it's certainly not the reason why they should remain the Am Hanifcha. So I'd like to discuss a point Goyen makes that really, really gives us a whole different perspective on what's the most important element. If we ask ourselves to be an Oved Hashem, what is the most important, most crucial element in a person's personality? So the Goyen speaks about it in Mishlei, and we'll try to explain it. The Goyen says as follows. He says, the reason why a Rasha never becomes changed when a tzaddik is in tochacha is because Rishayim are soft and easy people. And when they hear an inspiring drasha by somebody, you know, with fire and brimstone, they become very, very, very inspired. And then a day later, they cool down, they don't care much, and that's the end of it. The way he says is they're very rach. I looked at it the first time I saw it, I thought the Goyen, it's a mistake, a printing mistake. They're very soft. And he says, and therefore, you give them strong musa, they become very, very, taken with it, and then it disappears and goes down because they are very soft. Let's understand where that comes from, and I thought that being soft and easy is a good thing. Being hard and tough is not a good thing. It doesn't sound right. Somebody propose a shidduch and says this person is very hard and tough person, doesn't quite come across as a mila, unless maybe if they're very wealthy. But if they're just regular people, doesn't come across nice. So what does that mean? And so I want to use a concept that Maral says many times. I try to explain it a little bit and understand it in this context. The Maral uses a term many times in many different contexts of chomer and tsura. Chomer means physical substance. Let's take the simplest, it's a Greek term, form and matter. Let's take the simplest example, then we'll explain the more ruchnistic part of it. Chomer means the wood that this came from is the material that it's made of. That's the substance, that's the chomer. The tzura is the shape, the contours, the application of it, the concept. So this is not wood, this is a shtender. It's made of wood and has been shaped and built to legs and a piece here, that it shall be a shtender. That's the classical it's a classical terms used in the Greek works constantly. This is a very basic term. Now let's move it into the realm of Ruchnius. We are physical to start with, and we have certain ideas and ideals that land on us. So I'm just a regular person, I like life, enjoying life. Sankar Zung says you have to be a giving person, you have to have self-control, You have to care about what's right and wrong. All of those are ideals. They sort of form a conceptual sense of what a human being is. And then there's us who's the human being. So the Maharal will constantly use this term, Chomer and Tzura, to describe the physical person in its entirety and the spiritual conceptual self of the person. Now let's look at some of the differences. What describes a physical object? The answer is path of least resistance. If I toss a ball down here, how is it going to go? It's going to go on the path of least resistance. Gravity today is understood. Modern physics understands gravity as a path of least resistance. It's because of the way space bends, the attraction really represents a certain path of least resistance. Take a person who has no values and no ideals. Where does he end up? What does he do? The answer is whatever takes the least effort. Basically, if he has some drives, he has an appetite, he'll head towards the food bar. If he wants to drink, he'll head towards the bar. But tachlis, the place of least resistance, is where you end up to. That is the world of Chomer. So it means that Chomer has no real self, because so where do you go? Are you on this couch or that couch? Whichever one is closest. Are you looking for food or are you looking to drink? It depends, whatever I'm the mood now. The inner mechanism of Chomer is path of least resistance, passivity. So I'm going to ask somebody, yesterday you were sleeping in all day, and today you're downstairs with Medrash. The answer is because someone came with a big stick and hit me real hard. So the path of least resistance was in the base Medrash. Or he offered something, some prizes of some sort. But at the end of the day, I am passive. I'm acted upon. I don't have any real self. Chomer is raw material without definition. So in as much as we're Chomer, that's who we are, and that's what we are. We're infinitely bendable. Tzura is very, very straight. Let's go back to our physical muscle and try to apply it. What can I make out of this wood? Anything, including a bonfire. And I can make a triangle out of it, and I can make a square out of it, and I can make a table out of it, and I can make a frisbee out of it. I can do anything I want out of this. The wood is always acted upon. It doesn't have any self. Does a triangle change? No, a triangle as is defined, having three angles, they add up to 180, will always remain a triangle. Not one bit of that definition will ever change. So the world of Chomer is a world that is infinitely flexible because it has no self. And the world of Tzura, of form, is rigid because it has a definition. A triangle is a triangle, a square is a square, etc., etc. Anything that white is white. Every white, once it's defined in once we define it with a wavelength, will always be the same wavelength and the same color white, no matter what. Those are the two elements in the physical world, and it's also true in the Ruchnistic world. We as people we move by the path of least resistance. Ideals which require that we take a path that's not least resistance, that we always stay what we are, that's the core of Ruchnius. Ruchnius comes with very, very strong sense of this is the way it has to be. Reb Noach, I used to teach Nesha Torah for many years, from 83 to 90, and Reb Noach Weinberg would always say, Torah is all about pleasure. And that was part of the, you go through a chinuch, you go through about how to, he says, the enemy of anything good is not pleasure. It's comfort. And in other words, what drives us is the path of least resistance, and that's why we go nowhere, accomplish nothing, and become nobody. That was the way he would always more or less describe his things. So, the Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Klal Yisrael. Now, let's take an example. Imagine somebody brings you in a piece of clay, Play-Doh, and he had it shaped a certain way that was very nice, and it got misshaped. And he asks you to fix it again. We don't have patience for it. I mean, yes, I'll fix it, and in 2 minutes I'll change back again. I'll change back again and again and again. I'm doing nothing. So shaping Play-Doh is cute. You shaped it, I did it once for you, and that's it. When I'm carving something in stone, it takes a lot of effort, but it's worth it because then I get something that's set in stone. So having something that is firm means it takes work, but once you have it, it's worth it. Ki am kshe orav means if Klal Yisrael is a nation that, you know, come see, come sa, yes, no, whatever you want. Be religious, religious, superstitious, superstitious, this, this, that, the other thing. They're not worth patching with. They're only worth patching with if there's something there solid and meaningful that does not change and it's immutable. I remember there was an old, this is kind of an old Jewish joke, so everything goes like a computer. Somebody was hiring an accountant. And he asked the first accountant, how much is 2 and 2? And he says, 4. So he said, you're too straight for me. No, you're not for me. So this guy said, well, 2 and 2 is 5. He says, you're too stupid for me. Doesn't work. He asked the third accountant, what's 2 and 2? He says, whatever you'd like it to be. So that's the type of accountant I want. I want to apply this a little bit to the world of Torah in the following way. There's a struggle, and maybe a positive struggle. People come to yeshiva for a year or two, and they learn. There is learning Gemara, which is the rough and tough of it. And then there are a lot of spiritual experiences, inspiring spiritual experiences. And one is much, much more quickly motivated by those spiritual experiences. It's natural, it's emotional, it's nice, and it has a lot positive to it. I mean, we have in yeshiva also, we integrate things like that because it's very positive. But we ask ourselves, what is the point of breaking head on Gemara? What's the point of learning it? What do we gain internally? So you have the knowledge, there are many ways to explain why it's important to know it. But what does that give us in understanding? So, I want to try to describe. There's a Gemara that says, Yikov Hadin Esahar. Din passes through a mountain and doesn't budge. Gemara is learned like science. You can't say, so let's take two examples. A person's making chont, and there's a recipe that calls for red beans, white beans, whatever. And it's, we don't have any around. So somebody says, you know what, put in a little more barley, it'll work. Navy beans will work. If not that, leftover luxion, something, it'll be okay. And it is, it's okay. When you're doing a chemistry experiment and you happen not to have enough sodium to match the chlorine, it's not going to work more or less a substitute. The world of science is rigid, immutable. The world of nice, good is flexible. And we sort of build it into our minds. A person knows that when you're dealing with science, it's Yikov Adin Sahar. Things have to be exact, and you don't substitute something, and you don't do a little more or less when you're doing a science experiment. You do it exactly the way it's given, or there's a consequence, the least being that it's just not going to work. Whereas when you're dealing with ideas, decorations, ideas, anything of that nature, it's more, less, okay, could be different, and so on and so forth. Those are two different mindsets. And woe unto us if we approach Yiddishkeit with the mindset only of it's nice, it's beautiful, it's inspiring, it's fulfilling. Those ideas are never carved in stone. A friend of mine worked he lived near Shalim, he grew up in Shalim, Israeli. He worked in Pilim, and he had to be in Haifa area with a friend of his to do whatever work they had to do, was sukkahs. So he wanted to sleep in the sukkah. There was a sukkah in the house he was staying. It was an observant couple, not terribly knowledgeable, not terribly understanding of the mitzvah, but they kept these, you know, they were kind of traditional. And he said he wants to sleep in the sukkah, and the lady at the house did not want to sleep in the sukkah for whatever reason she had. She said, "You know what, Yossi? I'm putting your bed next to the door. You're going to sleep next to the sukkah. It's almost as good as sleeping in the sukkah because it's next to the sukkah." And I don't think he wasn't a kid. He was 18, 19, 20 years old. But in her mind, it was almost as good. But because it's a certain mentality that religion belongs to the world of the nice, the beautiful, the inspiring. One of the classic American stories about there was a Christian kid and a Jewish kid, and was before the holidays, before the 25th of December, and the Christian kid came home to his parents crying. My friend insulted me, made fun of me. He said, "What happened?" That, well, we told him we have a tree for the holidays, and we put a lot of decorations on it. And he started asking me, "How tall does the tree have to be? What happens if you can't get a tree? Can you substitute a different type of tree? If you don't have decorations, the point of putting a tree without it or not? Does the decoration have to be visible?" And the kid was clearly making fun of him. I mean, we would think it's strange that there would be, I mean, you put a tree. Trees are nice. The holiday is nice. And it expresses anything you want it to express. And if a person does not have the mindset that Torah is half science, that whether you like it or not, one thread more and thread less makes all the difference. My father, Zechanim Vrach, was the Mir Shiva, Rebbeinu Finkel. He used to build a sukkah. It was a small area. It was on a porch. And my wife was the youngest, so she would be helping. And my father always liked the intricacies of halacha. There was one place in the sukkah that to make it kasha, you needed a lavud, which means that it had to be within three tefachim. Any piece would create that. And my father would use a matchstick. He would just put in a matchstick there, that would give him the lavud he needed, and that made a sukkah kasha. He loved it. And he would show my wife, and he would tell her, "You see, this whole sukkah is kasha only because of this matchstick." I don't think she understood. She wasn't of the age to understand what it was, but she thought it was kind of neat. But the point was, you wouldn't think it's different. An electric circuit. Imagine you have a massive circuit powering a building. One place, the wire burns out. In the old days when they had fuses, I don't know if anybody knows what a fuse is, the wrong thing to do was that when the fuse blew, you could put a penny in instead. Pennies had a much higher heating point than the fuse. It would burn again. You also ran the risk of burning the house down, but other than that, it worked perfectly well. It did its job. So somebody would say, all of this electricity stands on this penny. The answer is yes, it does, because it's a fact. As long as the electrons have a pathway, it's going to go there, and that's it. So the world of halacha is the immutable science part of Torah. Hashem said Yehi Or, and Or is something where the constant of light is an immutable constant. They never were able to get light to go quicker, and it can't go quicker. Nobody knows why, but that's what it is. So the same Ribbono Shel Olam that said Yi'or said Vayelet Toitav Veisbein Inecha. Tfilin are tfilin are tfilin. And why is it that if one small corner gets rubbed out the wrong way, it passes the film? For the same reason that light can't go. I don't know why, but that's a metzius. That's a halachic mindset. When you sit and learn halacha, the Gemara never in halacha, the Gemara never says, well, it's just very inspiring and good. The Gemara says, does it fit halacha criteria or not? That's the type of mentality. So even though it's compliments, and definitely both the mind and the heart are important parts of this, they have to work together, and if you don't have the solid underpinning of the Gemara head, the halacha head, then the inspiration will come and go. Today you inspire one thing, it comes and goes because that's its nature. It's like the piece of wood. Someday you use that, then you could make a bonfire. A kid will find it for Lag Baima, and he'll find a way to make a bonfire out of it. That's the end of it. Same piece of wood. But a shtender, the concept of shtender stays always the same. That's what it is. The understand that Klal Yisrael's saving grace is because they're stubborn. It's because they're not wishy-washy people. And sometimes you see it in Chinuch also. Sometimes you see a kid that's a difficult kid, and many times that becomes your pride, because the person really cares. And once he understands what's right and aligns himself with it, then he sticks with it. Whereas somebody who's got a wishy-washy personality, and maybe yes, maybe not, it then there's not much coming out of it. In a practical sense, two things. One is understanding the importance of the halacha mindset, of the Gemara mindset, and the second piece is understanding the importance of consistency. If a person is inspired by something great, he's up all night, all day learning, and then plop, nothing happening afterwards, that's not Amkshei Orif. If a person decides he's adding 15 minutes to his Seder, if a person decides that the first 15 minutes of this he's not talking to anybody, and he stays with it consistently, that's an example of Amkshei Orif. And that's worth salvaging, because that means it's valuable. It belongs to the world of Tzura and so on. I'll finish with a vart that the Balei Musa say. It says, Pischuli Pesach Kemachat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Klal Yisrael to open a small hole of tshuva, like a needle's hole, and Vaniyavtach Lechem, that even Kronos and then Agalos will go through it, and so on and so forth. The simple meaning of it is, you make one small effort, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do a lot for you. The Balei Musa add one more point. Open me a hole as big as a pin, as a needle. So it's a small hole, but the walls of that hole are made of steel. They don't bend. It doesn't lose its shape. It's permanent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, open up a small hole, but let it be set in steel. Let it be something that is strong and permanent. Bez Hashem, people get so much from this year in Eretz Yisrael, and I know in Yeshiva here so much good happens and such transformations. But one of the things you should ask yourself is keep measuring which transformations have become set stone, because that's you, who you are. Everything else is a phase. It's so important to keep your finger on the pulse. Things that you do and start becoming regular habit is even if it's a small thing, those are the things that will stay for a lifetime, because they are who you are, and they are the chelik of Torah that is etched in stone. Batzlacha.
Where did you learn this? Oh, wow. Sure. You're from where originally?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess. From here.
Lampansky is going to be here if anybody wants to speak about Yeshiva Gedolei Greater Washington. I think.
Right. What did you learn in
English? In English, I learned in school. I went to the Cambria.